Hey everyone, you're listening to a message from Pastor Ruth Carver entitled Real Prayer. This week she'll be focusing on Matthew 7, 7 through 11 as we continue in the series Becoming Real. Be sure to check out the study guide for this week's message on our website, eastbrook.org/becomingreal.
Thank you so much for this chance we've had to worship you in song, whether we're in this worship hall or at home online. And now as we come to this portion of the service where we look into your word, would you give us open hearts? We want to see whatever it is you have for us today. Speak to all of us, Lord. Amen. Amen. How many of you know that we have a library here at Eastbrook Church? And I don't mean Eastbrook Academy. Wow, some people actually do. Well, we do. It's in the basement of the church office building. It's not big. It's kind of cute. The staff uses it. But we actually have a lot of good books. And in this first picture on the right side, you'll see a section of books all on one topic, the topic of prayer. And that's kind of a lot of books. But it's nothing like how many books on prayer there are in the Salzman Library at St. Francis Seminary, my favorite. In the second picture, all of these books are on prayer. And this is only one of several sections of books they have on prayer. That's a lot. And I think that books on prayer can be very helpful. I'd love to know what's been helpful to you. But I also have to say that when there are so many books on prayer, so many approaches, so many angles, sometimes it can make prayer seem complicated. And if you look at what Jesus himself says in the Gospels about prayer, it all boils down to this. Prayer is about asking God for things. Prayer is about asking God for things. That's it. We've been in the Sermon on the Mount now for several months here at Eastbrook, and in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said some very hard things to his disciples. He said, if someone slaps you on the right cheek, you need to offer your left cheek as well. He said, if you call someone a fool, you're in danger of hellfire. He said, if you look at a woman lustfully, you've already committed adultery in your heart. He said, if you don't forgive other people for their sins, God won't forgive you for your sins. This is hard stuff. It was countercultural back then, and it's countercultural now. But then in the middle of all these really hard things, Jesus says some of the most positive, encouraging things to his disciples about prayer. He's already given them sort of the model prayer back in chapter 6 with what we call the Lord's Prayer. But then he adds this, and this is Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Which Nick already read. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Remember, Jesus preached his Sermon on the Mount to his disciples, but a large crowd gathered around his disciples listening in. Imagine that you're in that crowd. And if you do, you'll scratch your heads just like the disciples must have. What in the world does this mean? Will God give his disciples everything they ask for? Will he show them everything they're looking for? Will he open up every door they're knocking on? And furthermore, why does he even want to be asked? Doesn't he already know exactly what his disciples need and want? And yet, Jesus teaches that real prayer is about asking God for things. Even if you look at the famous Lord's Prayer back in chapter 6, you'll find it consists of our Father who art in heaven, and then seven requests. That's it. God wants his disciples to ask him for things, and he wants to answer their prayers. It's his heart. Jesus must have seen the confusion on his disciples' faces, because then he tells a parable to try to clear things up. And this is verse 9. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? In Jesus' time, they made these round loaves of bread that looked maybe a little bit like stones. Remember, in the wilderness, Satan tempted Jesus to turn stones into bread. They looked the same. And in Jesus' time, they caught these long, skinny catfish that looked maybe a little bit like snakes. At least they were long and skinny. And if kids at that time asked their dads for bread or fish, it's because they were hungry. And they were asking for something good and healthy. They were asking for grains and protein. Good dads don't make fun of their kids by giving them a counterfeit when they're hungry, giving them a stone instead of bread, or a snake instead of fish. That would be terrible parenting. Jesus is saying that his Father is a good Father. And like all good fathers, he wants to give good gifts to his children. Now compare it to God. Human fathers and mothers are evil. We're all so flawed, and we have our foibles and our blind spots and our sinful natures. And yet, even though we're evil compared to God, there's this little light flickering, even in the most unregenerate person. Human beings have that image of God in them that at least makes them want to give good gifts to their own kids. And in this way, we're like God. God wants to give his children good gifts. And I just have to ask, brothers and sisters, do we believe this? Do we? I think sometimes our problem as Christians is that we don't ask God for anything. It's sad. But I think there are three reasons for this. One, sometimes we don't ask God for things because we think he has better things to do than listen to our requests. We know that there's someone around the world somewhere who's got a much worse situation than we do. And I would have to say, yes, that's probably always the case. But then we need a bigger view of God. He's omnipresent. He can be everywhere at the same time. He can hear every single prayer from every single person in the whole wide world all at the same time and not be worn out. So don't hesitate to ask him. And a second reason that we sometimes don't ask God for things is because we think our prayers don't really make a difference. I've heard people who are disillusioned with God say things like, yeah, I've tried prayer and it doesn't work. We think that God is just going to do what he's going to do no matter whether we pray or not. But that's not true. Read the Bible. In the Old Testament, King Hezekiah was going to die. God even told him he was going to die. And Hezekiah prayed for 15 more years of life, and God gave them to him. In the New Testament, the Apostle Peter was awaiting trial, and he was chained between two guards. And the early Christians prayed fervently for him, and his chains fell off, and he walked out of there free. Brothers and sisters, listen carefully. God has set up the universe in such a way that our prayers make a difference. God has set up the universe in such a way that our prayers make a difference. How he did this, we don't know. But when you pray, you will start seeing coincidences. I had a friend who used to say this a lot. 100 coincidences add up to one God-cidence. And I love that. I love that. I don't know about the number 100, but it's true. When we pray, God makes things happen. And he's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He can work in circumstances. He can work in the natural order. And he can work in people's hearts. He can work in yours and in mine. So don't hesitate to ask him. But a third reason that sometimes we don't ask God for things is because we don't feel worthy. Martin Luther, the great reformer, I think hit the nail on the head when he said this: God knows his children are timid and ashamed to come to him in prayer and ask him for anything. But Jesus is inviting us here to ask, seek, and knock. This is such an incredible invitation to us as his disciples, if we're his disciples. We should learn all we can about this privilege. How should we ask? Well, some people say you should never ask God for something more than once, because if you do, that shows you didn't believe he heard you the first time. But that's not true. The verb tense in the Greek of ask, seek, and knock indicates that Jesus is talking about persistent asking, seeking, and knocking. In other words, it's keep asking, keep seeking, don't stop knocking. God's not like Amazon Prime, where you click once on your prayer order and big tech takes over and you get what you ordered on your doorstep the next day. No, here's the key. Think about the parable. We can only understand how to ask, seek, and knock in the context of a father-child relationship. We don't have a relationship with Amazon, or at least I hope not. I'm trying to stay away. But a relationship with us is what God the Father wants. And Eastbrook, hear me on this. Real prayer is persistent. And real prayer is in the context of this relationship. Jesus gets us thinking about relationships with our earthly fathers in that parable. So I've been thinking about my own earthly father. And I know I was so fortunate because I had a wonderful father. I mean, he was human, he wasn't perfect, but he was wonderful. He was a college music professor, very hard worker. I remember him staying up until 11 or midnight many times at home, correcting papers, working on music. He loved the Lord, he loved my mother, he loved his work, he loved his students, and he was very popular with them. And except for the summer, he had a crazy, insane schedule. But I always knew I had access to him. He involved me in his life every day. I think sometimes our culture tells us that the best parenting is centering our lives around our kids and getting involved in all of their activities, going to all of their events. And that is one part of parenting that's very important. But another part of parenting that's equally as important is letting our kids in on our lives. I remember when I was a teenager, some of my friends saying that they had absolutely no idea what their dads did for a living. They knew their dads left in the morning and came back at dinner time or later, exhausted, but they had no idea what he did in between. And I always thought that was so funny because I knew exactly what my dad did, and I knew all the people he did it with. I remember walking into his classrooms or his studios while he was teaching, maybe to deliver something, I don't know what it was, but he'd always stop everything and introduce me proudly. I remember walking around campus with him, and this would take forever because my dad never met a human being he didn't want to have a long conversation with. So he would introduce me to every student, every faculty member, every staff person, always making connections, always showing me how proud of me he was, and always making me proud of him. And I've been thinking about the phone a lot. Because, wow, the phone used to have such a different function in our culture. This is going to sound strange to some of you probably, but people used to answer the phone. And they would do it right away. Because if they didn't, the phone wouldn't stop ringing until the person on the other end hung up. That could be 10, 15 minutes. There were no answering machines, no voicemail. There was this sense that if the phone was ringing, it was something important, and there was no caller ID, so you answered to find out. I called my dad so many times at his studio, and then after I left home when I grew up, I'd call him at home. He always answered, and when I said, "Hi, Dad," I could always hear the happiness in his voice that I had called. And then he always called me by a special nickname that only he used for me. He made me feel happy and secure in my relationship with him. Now, granted, he had the kind of job where he could do this. He could let his kids in on things. Not every job is like that. I was fortunate that way. But beyond that, I knew my dad loved me, and I knew I could always ask him for anything within reason. He wouldn't always let me have the money or the privilege or whatever it was I was asking for, like the use of his Ford Mustang. That was a very common request. Because after all, he was disciplining me. He was raising me. But I felt very free asking. And he asked me to do things for him too, like help him pick out a special gift for my mother or playing the piano accompaniment for something he was practicing singing. I know that this is not everybody's experience. I know that some of you had a very difficult relationship with your father. And I know that some of you had no relationship with your father. If that's the case, it may be harder for you to think of God as your loving Heavenly Father, but I urge you to see that it's true. Go to him and ask him to show you what a loving, good father is like. He wants to give you good things. It's his heart to give you good things. It's who he is. He loves you like a good father. Actually, Jesus says that God our Father is not just good, he's the perfect father. And he invites us to ask, seek, and knock in a relationship with him. So here's how some things work in our relationship with the Father. We should ask him for our daily bread, meaning our food. Now, do we work for it? Well, sure. We pay for it, but it's still a gift from God. Because God is the giver of every good and perfect gift, including the ability to work for money, to buy food. But when we ask him to provide for our needs, and then we thank him for our provisions, we're acknowledging our relationship with him. That's why I think it's a really good idea to pray before a meal or to say grace. And I know this can get perfunctory, and we've got to guard against that. But the thing is, thanking God for our food keeps us aware of how much we need him for everything. Absolutely everything. It keeps us connected in our relationship with him. Another thing to do in your relationship with the Father is to ask him for things that you care most about in the moment. Things that you're really interested in, not just things you think you should be interested in. Some of these things will be embarrassing, and you might not want to share them with anyone else, but share them with God, because for one thing, he already knows, and for another thing, he cares about everything, even the hairs on your head. And speaking of hair, I recently talked with a woman who's a hairdresser, and a year ago, when COVID hit, her salon was shut down like everybody else's. And you know, when you're self-employed like that and you don't work, you don't get a paycheck. So she applied for all the government assistance she could, but it didn't come for a long time. And she had a couple of very scary months. So she decided to take God at his word and ask him for money. Now, she's raising a teenage son, and he was very worried and very skeptical about her plan. But you know what started happening? She prayed for money, and then checks started arriving in the mail day after day from her clients who weren't getting their hair done. They were just thinking about her and realizing it was probably a rough time. Coincidences. Wow, did this increase her son's faith? Ask for what you're really interested in. And here's another very important thing to do in your relationship with the Father. Pray for what you and God are partnering on together. This takes so many forms, but let me just give you a couple of examples. You might say, oh God, I know that you've called me to be a student. So would you help me to study the right material for the exam tomorrow? And would you help me to get a good sleep tonight so I can be fresh for it and get a good grade? That's okay to ask. Or you might say, God, I know that you want me to honor my parents. And right now my mother's in a care facility and I don't think she's getting the right kind of care. Would you show me how to advocate for her in the best possible way so she can get her help? Or you might say, my friend is lost and really needs you, God. Would you give me the words to share the gospel with her in the best possible way? What are you and God partnering on together? Think about it. Ask, seek, and knock about those things. Now, I imagine some of you are maybe thinking at this point, isn't this a little simplistic? Ask, seek, and knock. Keep asking, keep seeking, don't stop knocking, and you get what you want. Maybe some of you have prayed for something for a long time and that God hasn't given you. If that's your situation, listen to what Christian philosopher Dallas Willard says about this. I love this so much. Sometimes we must wait for God to do as we ask because the answer involves changes in other people or even ourselves. We need to stay with the request until it is resolved one way or another. Keep asking, keep seeking, don't stop knocking. I think about a woman named Monica, a wife and mother, who was born at the beginning of the 4th century in northern Africa. She dedicated her life to Christ as a young child, but you know, in that culture, girls were married off, sometimes against their will, and she was married off to a Roman pagan, a man who didn't care anything about God and didn't treat her very well either. But she loved him, and she prayed for him, and she prayed for their 3 children, especially their son, Augustine, because in Augustine, she saw so much potential for God and yet absolutely no interest in God. All he wanted to do was party, carouse, and be sexually immoral. But Monica prayed for him year after year, crying out to God, asking, seeking, and knocking persistently, break through to my son. And after 17 long years, her prayers were answered. Augustine completely turned around, repented, and became one of the most devout, sincere Christian theologians our world has ever seen, Saint Augustine. And as a bonus, Monica's husband even came to Christ at the end of his life. Now, she was made a saint for her perseverance, Saint Monica. But we can do that too. Stay with your request until it's resolved. Stay with it. Now, sometimes the situation is resolved and God's answer is no. If it is, we have to trust that he has a good reason for it, because the word of God says he wants to give his children good things when they ask. It's his character. It's who he is. So he will, unless he has a good reason for saying no. Brothers and sisters, sometimes God says no to our request because we think we're asking for something good, but we're not. We're asking for a stone or a snake. If your 5-year-old son asked you for a poisonous snake, you'd never give it to him. God wouldn't either. Matthew tells us in chapter 20 about a mom who asked for something that was not good. She was the mother of James and John, two of the disciples. And she came to Jesus with a request that was truly out of line. And Jesus basically said to her, "You don't know what you're asking." She was asking for a snake. And sometimes we do that too. Sometimes God says no because he's building our character. That's what he cares about. He wants our character to be stronger. He wants us to be more reliant on him and less on ourselves. Think about the Apostle Paul, who repeatedly asked God to take a thorn of the flesh away, some physical affliction that was really bothering him. But God, in his infinite wisdom, said, "No, my grace is sufficient for you." God wants to build our character. And sometimes God says no to our request because, you know what, he can see the big picture and we can't. Would you really want God to give you everything you ask for? I don't think so. Can you possibly see all the ramifications of even something like getting a parking place when you're in a hurry? That's a prayer I've prayed many times. Think about movies like Sliding Doors or even Groundhog Day, where we're reminded that one little thing can set off a chain of hundreds and thousands of other things. God is omniscient, and he knows all the ramifications of every action for you and for everyone else. Only God can see the big picture. And yet, he invites us, ask, seek, and knock in a relationship with him. Be a disciple of Jesus. Be in relationship with his Father, who's also your Father. Keep asking, keep seeking, don't stop knocking. And Eastbrook family, here's the beautiful thing. The more we do this, the deeper we go in our relationship with God. And the deeper we go in our relationship with God, the more our requests will be consistent with his will. We're his children. And the more we do this, the more we will resemble him, our Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me? Oh, Father, we thank you that you want us to come to you in prayer. Would you help us to ask and seek and knock in our relationship with you? Help us to be persistent, not just to give up after one time of praying for something. Thank you that you want an ongoing relationship with us. Would you help us to go deeper in that? Help us to know that we can trust you because you are the perfect Father. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Pastor Ruth Carver. At this time, we welcome you to join us for our weekend services by RSVPing for an in-person service or joining us online at eastbrook.org/at-home. For more information on Eastbrook, visit our website at eastbrook.org.